Hello, Audioboom. Grimmy and Black73 Cat. Hope you're all well, guys. It's Tuesday, the 2nd of December, 2014, and it's approximately 10 o'clock in the AM. And that noise you hear in the background is my coffee machine switching itself off just as I was about to go and switch it on. Or start making a coffee. But hey, does it all the time. It knows I want a coffee, so I'm going to switch myself off. So there you go. Anyway, how are we all? It's like a very nice day here today. It's been raining heavily overnight, but sky's brightening up and it's a very pleasant atmosphere. So, I haven't recorded for a couple of days. I haven't listened to anything for a couple of days either, really. I've been sort of distracted with other stuff. I'm trying to catch up a bit now. I've just been listening to Mac on about his new crime-fighting his crime-fighting attributes and his war on drugs. It's everywhere, Mac. It's absolutely everywhere. I don't venture into big cities and stuff nowadays, but in my former career as an engineer, domestic appliance engineer, as you can probably imagine, and I've probably mentioned several times before, I used to have to venture into the most undesirable places and work in the homes of the most undesirable people. Just part of the job, really. You can't really escape it. And it's just rife. I would quite often be in a house and there would be drug deals going on in the house, drug taking going on in the house. I've seen somebody sit at a kitchen table next to me and chat to me whilst he was cooking up a shot of heroin and then proceeded to give it to himself. And I don't like veins, which made me rather uncomfortable. But, I'm a man of the world. I've been around a bit and I know about this stuff and that kind of thing. I won't say too much on that, I don't think. But it's just not a very nice aspect of modern society that it is so widespread. Thinking about what I heard Rick say the other night, one of the things that you would often earmark a drug dealer as soon as I walked into a rather scruffy, filthy flat that was in a really scruffy, filthy area of town in a scruffy, filthy tower block. And then you'd see a 110-inch TV hanging on the wall or stuck across the corner of the room, so there's barely room to get the sofa in. And the room is that small that literally you cannot see all four corners of the screen when you're sitting in front of it because the screen is that big and you sat that close to it. You pretty much knew you were in a drug dealer's house as soon as you saw that. It seemed to be the way that they go. Make some money selling smack to kids and then buy a massive telly. It's not very nice. Not very nice at all. Although there's nothing wrong per se with having a big TV. I've got a big TV, well, a reasonably big one. I've got a 50-inch plasma hanging on my wall. But in my defence... No, there is no defence. I just wanted a big TV, to be honest. But my sofa sits back about 4 or 5 metres away from the screen, so you need quite a big screen in order to still make it sort of realistically viewable. Although I was thinking back the other day, we've got like a 32-inch TV on the wall in our bedroom, and I was thinking 32-inch. We used to have a 21-inch TV in our lounge. That was our main TV when I was a kid. It's crazy when you think back. Just bonkers. Utterly crazy. And even the 32-inch one that we've got seems really tiny. And if you put that in the lounge, we would hardly be able to see it, to be quite honest. Next time, though, I will be looking at something even bigger when I come to renew it because, excuse me, for a start, when I'm playing video games, I can't sit on the sofa because a lot of the text and stuff in the menus is too small to read from being sort of 5 metres back. Even on a 50-inch screen, it's too small to read. So I've kind of got like we've got like a swivelly sort of armchair thing in the lounge, and I pull that out now and I sit closer to the screen. but you didn't need to know that. But yes, so that's part of the reason why I would like a bigger one. But also because the way that my wall is configured, I've got the speakers, the KEF 2001s, for anybody who's into that kind of thing, little sort of silver egg-shaped speakers with a black grill in the front. They're lovely, they're gorgeous, but they're tiny, and I've got them mounted on the wall with all the cables and stuff hidden behind the wall, so it's visible is the speakers themselves, and they sit either side of the TV with the centre speaker underneath the TV, obviously, and the panel that I've got has the frame, a plastic frame around the screen. So I've got sort of either side of the screen, I've got like 3 inches of black plastic, which isn't too much of a problem because I've painted that wall quite a dark colour. It's like a sort of a dark brown, purpley colour. Sounds really bad, but actually it works really well. And then what basically happens is that means that you can't see the frame of the screen because it sort of blends in. So all you can see is the actual picture in the middle. Especially at night, it works really well. It's like a cinema sort of effect. It's brilliant. Even though I do say so myself. But anyway, but the thing is, when I get a new TV, most of them don't have a frame around them now. It's just all screen, isn't it? So I'm going to lose that extra sort of 6 inches of real estate that I've got on the wall at the minute, which is going to make the speakers look slightly out of place because they're going to look too far away from the edges of the screen, if that makes any sense. So I've said it again. I always say, if that makes any sense. I guess there's a whatever, sure. Anyway, so basically what I need to think about when I come to get a new one is that I've got to take into account the fact that my actual massive screen is going to be about 6 inches smaller, which means that realistically I'm going to have to go bigger. I'm going to have to get an even bigger screen. Yes, darling, of course, no problem. Just dealing with a small person. So I'm probably looking at going for a 60-inch next time. It's coming, sweetheart. There you go. Okay. We'll come in and we'll do some playing in a minute, yeah? Yeah. I've got to get back to the beginning, Dafty. Yeah, big loony. 1, 2, 3. Sorry about this, people. I'm just trying to sort out Fireman Sam for my little chap while I do my housely chores. Let's come in. Calm down. There you go. Right. Fireman Sam. So there you go. Yes, I'm going to have to look at a 60-inch or maybe even bigger next time in order to fill the gap. Which would be cool. But however, that's not going to happen for a while yet. That's way in the... Well, I hope so. I mean, my panel's like 5 years old now. Yes, plasma. I love plasma. I don't particularly like the screen burn and the image retention, but on the whole, plasma is brilliant. I'm fully aware that plasma could literally go like that. So, it's probably on borrowed time, really. But I'll keep it going for as long as I can. It's been good. It's been a good old workhorse. And I don't particularly want to have to buy a new one just yet. Actually saying that, the price of these things has come down quite dramatically. I paid silly amount of money for mine. We just moved in to this house when I bought it, and we had some equity, a little bit of money left over, and I wanted to do the lounge properly and with the proper speakers and everything else. So I was given a budget in order to do it and make it look pretty, and that included all the cabling and that kind of thing and get it all routed in and stuff. And I spent quite a lot of money on the TV. And to be fair, it's I've had my money's worth out of it. It was quite expensive. But looking at them now, they're kind of half of that price for some. I mean, you can still pay a lot of money if you want, but I could probably get an equivalent to what I've got now for probably half of what I paid for it, if not less. Looking around the shops, but hey. Anyway, let's move on to other things. On the subject of gaming, though, I've lost my Xbox, my shiny new Xbox One console. I've lost it only for a couple of days. I haven't lost it. I've still got the console. I've just got no way of interfacing with it because my controller has been sent back to be replaced. It is faulty. Still works, but it's not very good. It developed a little bit of a grinding noise under the left thumbstick early last week, which kind of lasted for a couple of days and then went away. And I thought nothing of it, but playing Geometry Wars the other night, which is quite quite aggressive on the sticks because you're moving around a lot and you're moving around very fast and very hard. I noticed it seemed to be like notching, it seemed to be like slipping. There's something not right. And then over the last couple of days, it's now when you pull the stick over to the left, the whole chassis kind of creaks, It's not very pretty at all. So I've had to send it back. Thankfully, the retailer have agreed to do it, to exchange it. But they insisted that I sent it back so they can test it before they send me out a new one, which is really frustrating because they know who I am. They know where I live. They've got my blinking payment details. They've got everything they need. I'm not going to rip them off. I'm not going to gain anything. I'm still going to end up with one controller. So they could have just sent me one out and shipped the other one back by return. But no, they wanted it the other way. So it was, to be fair to them, though, they picked it up by courier yesterday at their expense, not mine. They've shipped it back to themselves. They've assured me they will get it today and they will test it immediately and ship me a new one out by return. So I should get it back tomorrow because it will come back on the next day through DPD. DPD are fantastic. I'm getting loads of stuff from them at the minute and they are really blooming good. I have to say, really good. Their tracking service is brilliant. I seem to have the same guy on the same route all the time, and he's really decent fella. You can literally track him to your door. It's brilliant, really good stuff. They'll offer loads of alternatives. Like if you need to nip out, or you just want to get a neighbour to sign for it or something, you can just go into your thing, you track at any time, and just say, oh, actually, I'm going out. Can you just drop it in my neighbour's house, please? It's brilliant, really is good. So anyway, so that's hopefully coming back tomorrow, but it's meant I've been without my Xbox for 2 nights. Well, last night was the first one. To be fair, I took advantage of it and grabbed an early night. I was sitting there thinking, normally I'd be switching my console in about now, but actually I'm going to go to bed and get some sleep and come back with a vengeance. So I'll probably pull an all-nighter tomorrow when it comes back. So yeah, and in the meantime, I thought I was going to be able to play Farming Simulator 2015. Farming Simulator, can you believe it? Oh, it looks brilliant. I'm itching to get a go of it. To be honest, I've been looking at Farming Simulator for a while. It's been around since about 2011, I think, something like that. And I kind of really fancy it. It is available on Xbox 360, but I've just never got round to grabbing a copy. I don't really like doing games on my laptop. I struggle. I can't get used to the whole WASD thing on the keys. But anyway, I've got the opportunity to get hold of Farming Simulator 2015. But what sparked it was that I ended up watching a Twitch broadcast. For anybody who doesn't know what Twitch is, it's a bit like YouTube. But instead of uploading videos, you broadcast live onto Twitch. It's very popular with gamers. Because you can literally, on your Xbox or your PlayStation or your PC, you can just literally open the Twitch app, press broadcast, and you can broadcast your gaming antics to the world. Which, it might sound a bit daft, but as I've said before about the YouTube thing, people like watching other people play games. It's just one of those things. If that's what you're into, I guess it's... I personally really like it. But I don't use Twitch very much. I've never broadcast on Twitch. And I've only ever watched a few little feeds on it. The other night, I was just heading off up to bed. I'd shut my Xbox down. I was switching everything off in the lounge. And I just picked my phone up, checked my emails. And there was an email from Twitch saying, Darren has just gone live on Twitch with Train Simulator. Train Simulator 2015. Well, little bit of a backstory here. Darren is Darren Baldock, who is the main man at Midlife Gamer. And Midlife Gamer is a gaming community built around the Midlife Gamer podcast. Midlife Gamer podcast, if you're into video games, it's well worth a listen to. It's very, very funny. It's very, very rude at times, so do not listen to it with children around. But the two guys that do it, Darren and his right-hand man, Matthew Moore, are blooming great. They are just such decent blokes. They really are. And off the back of this, they've built up this whole sort of gaming community called Midlife Gamer. And there are forums and there are Facebook groups and Twitter, and they have a big meetup at Eurogamer every year. And it's some great game nights. And honestly, I've got to know a few of them as friends. The atmosphere on the Facebook group is always good. There's very rarely any bickering and bickering and arguing going on like there is on some groups. It's just great. It really is a great place to be if you're a gamer. Check him out, Midlife Gamer. Anyway, Darren Baldock, is into this kind of thing. He's into this train simulator specifically, and he's into train simulator so much that he bought a cab controller. which really is what it sounds like. It's a controller, like you would plug in a handheld controller or a joystick or something like that into your PC, but it looks like the dashboard of a train. So it's got your little levers and stuff for your throttle and your brake, and it's got your dials and your gauges and your switches and your emergency brake and your buttons to like send messages to the signal box and all this kind of stuff, all the stuff that you would find in the dashboard of a proper train, actually on a big console that sits in front of you on your desk. And when I say big, I mean big. It's big. It fills up your desk. It's massive. It's a huge, great big thing. It's probably about, I think, I've seen pictures of it. I've never actually used one myself, but I think it's about probably 2.5-3 feet wide, and just sits, takes up the whole of his desk. Then I think he has a three screen setup, I think. So he's got three monitors up above his in front of him. So it looks like he's got sort of surround view, and he drives the train on Train Simulator. Well, I've kind of heard him talk about this before. And hey, I'm not taking the mick out of that. I mean, hey, if that's what you enjoy doing, then crack on. You know what I mean? If you've got the money to spend on that kind of thing, I don't know how much it was. I would imagine it was quite a few pennies. But hey, if that's what you want to do, then fill your boots. It doesn't sound like my kind of thing. Or so I thought. So this thing comes up the other night. Darren has just gone live on Twitch with Train Simulator 2015. And I went, oh, okay. And I was just on the way to bed. Well, I usually watch a YouTube video or something before I go to sleep. So I kind of said, well, I'll just watch Darren for a bit and see what he's doing. So I switched it on. There he comes. So you can see like the usual sort of picture-in-picture thing. So you can see Darren's face in the top corner as he's talking. And then you can see the full screen is looking out of the cab of this train. And I kind of only went in just to see what it was about and ended up like sitting there glued to it for half an hour as he drove his train into Newcastle and came across the bridge and looked up the river so you could see the Tyne Bridge and approached the station and slowed down and obeyed all the signals and slowed down to the required speed limit and then pulled up gently on the platform and watched his passengers get off and get on. And I just thought, this is blooming amazing. I want to have a go at this. Now, confession, I did once try Train Simulator quite a few years ago now, but I didn't really give it a chance. All I did really was get in a train, drive it really, 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 really fast until it crashed. And I thought, yeah, that's a bit like, yeah, boring. I'm not really into that. But actually watching Darren do it the other night, I thought, oh, that's really good. So I kind of thought, oh, I might have a look out for that. I don't think I'll be able to get the latest one because it's quite expensive. So for something that I might not stick with. But I was speaking to my brother who suggested that he has been playing Farm Simulator. Well, I've been thinking about Farming Simulator for a while, and he's kind of said, well, why don't you try Farming Simulator first and see how you get on with that? So I said, oh, okay, so you can pick that up quite cheap. So yeah, so anyway, I got me a copy of Farming Simulator. Ooh, I've been watching this guy on YouTube do it, and it looks brilliant. You kind of run around a farm, you've got all your different tractors and all your different tools, and you can grow all your different crops, or you can keep animals and stuff, and then you've got to like grow your crops and sell them. But obviously, in the process of that, in the meantime, you've got to like nurture your crops and make them grow and do things. You've got to plow your fields and cultivate them and seed them and fertilize them and all this malarkey. And you can hire people to do it for you, but obviously that comes out of your budget. The idea is you've got to expand your farm and buy up more fields and do this, that, and the other, and buy up better and swankier machinery and stuff. Oh, it looks really good, really good. But I'm not a laptop gamer. I don't know if I'm going to get on with it. So I didn't want to spend a lot of money on it. So anyway, I've got a copy of it. Came down yesterday. Got it all installed. Went to run it. And it bloody crashes every time. It just crashes, dies, crash, die. And it literally cooks my laptop as well. It crashes and then the whole thing goes mental. The fan goes right the mental on my laptop. And I've got no option but to hold the power button down to switch it off. I've done a bit of Googling this morning and it seems like it's a bug somewhere. So I need to find out about how to get rid of this bug. But it involved going into the something directory or something like that. So no, not for me. That's where the wonderful thing called TeamViewer comes in. Because I can just ask my brother to help me. Because he knows about all of this type of stuff. And things like that make sense to him. Don't make any sense to me. At all. So hopefully, if I can get that sorted, I'll be having a bit of Farm Simulator action later on. And I'll be driving my tractor. He's looking forward to having some cows. On the video, the YouTube video I've seen, you can only have what look to be like Frisians, which is cool. Frisian cows are nice, but I want hairy coos. I want to be able to keep hairy coos. I saw some hairy coos on Saturday. We went to the Yorkshire Sculpture Park. Myself and my mate, I realised I had a day free, so I grabbed him and said, do you fancy doing something Saturday? And he said, yeah, why don't we go to Yorkshire Sculpture Park? And I was thinking, well, I was more thinking about a day in the Peak District. But yeah, I've heard that this is quite a good day out, so I thought, yeah, let's go there. So we went to Yorkshire Sculpture Park. I think it's near Wakefield somewhere. And we walked around the Sculpture Park, which was very, very, very weird. There were some strange things there. I mean, I kind of went with this idea that I was going to curb my cynicism and I was going to sort of try and get a bit of culture. No. I mean, there were one or two things where I looked at, oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's nice. But the majority of them were just, oh, man, that's not art. That's just hideousness. I mean, there was one bit where there's... I don't know how to describe it. If you imagine 2-inch steel tubing or alley tubing, one of the two, like you'd have holding up signposts, for example. And someone's took a load of that and kind of stuck bits of it together to make it look like a tree trunk and some branches. And each one of these things has got like 4 or 5, 6 or 7 branches coming off of it. Okay, so it's just like a length of pole with more lengths of pole stuck to the top and hanging off of it. To look like a tree. But then at the end of each one of these branches, they've screwed on a piece of blooming household junk. And when I say a piece of household junk, I mean things like toilets, sinks, wheelie bins, bathtubs. What on earth? What? And they're not even painted. They're literally just like, they're literally lifted straight off the tip. And they're like manky old toilets, man. Oh, dear me. And I'm kind of looking, I'm thinking, there's about 10 of these things, each with about 7 or 8 branches on them, all with these blooming toilets and bins and stuff stapled to the top. And I'm just looking at, seriously, if that is art, I must be some proper Philistine, because I have not got a clue how that can be pleasing to anybody's eye. It was just awful, utterly awful. I suppose the weirdest one, we were walking down this path, obviously it's all outside, and we see this concrete barn sort of thing with an open doorway, and there was this little sort of, you know, like a museum sort of pedestal sign with a sheet of A4 stuck to the top with a note on, and I thought, what's that sign say? So I wandered over, and the sign's in the doorway, and it says, please wait here. So I thought, I kind of just peered into the room to sort of see what I would be waiting for if I were to wait here. And these two women jumped up and went, oh, come in here. You can come in. Put these shoes on. Put these overshoes on. I said, what? And I kind of looked at my mate as if to say, really, we should be getting out of here. We've just been dragged into a dark building with two women and asked to put rubber things on our feet. That really sounds like it should be on the top shelf of some adult shop in Soho. But we kind of looked at each other and just sort of giggled and said, let's just go with it. You know, what's the worst that could happen? Anyway, so in this building, there was this like massive crate, is the best way I can describe it. And it was all like 4-inch box section steel. And concrete by the look of it, all like, just that was it. That's all you could see, forming this massive cube in the middle of the room. And we sat on this bench thing and started putting these rubber things on over our feet. We still didn't know what we were doing, but we sat there. And this woman, it was one young lass who I assume must have been an art student, and an older woman who was maybe her, I don't know, lecturer or one of the staff from the thing or whatever, I don't know. But they basically stood there and they said, right, so what happened to you was, this was a bedsit in the Elephants and Castle in London. What? It's just a big box. And that's all you could see from the outside was box tubing. And then she said, and in, I think it was 1985 or something like that, this block of flats was about to be demolished. So the artist, I lose that. That was her words, not mine. It's not what I would call him, but she said she referred to him as the artist. So let's go with that, okay, for the purposes of this discussion. So yes, she said the artist contacted the council and asked if he could have one of these bed sits. Well, how can you just have a bed sit? It's a part of a massive building. But anyway, it turns out somehow this guy has cut this bed sit out of the building and kept it as one big square box, or yeah, pretty much square it was, and he's then taken it and tanked it, as he lined it so it's fully watertight, and lined it watertight, and then he's filled the whole room, the whole flat, filled it with, I don't know, I can't remember the numbers. Let's say 7 million liters of copper sulfate solution. Seriously. Copper sulfate solution. Filled it, floor to ceiling, brim full, box full of blue liquid. Filled it up. Left it for, I don't know, 2 years or something. And then drained it all out again. Well, I don't know if you remember doing this as a kid, either in your science lessons at school, or if you had a chemistry set like me, where you made up some copper sulfate solution, some bright blue liquid, you drop in a piece of cotton, stand the test tube on the windowsill, leave it for a couple of weeks, come back in 2 weeks' time, pull your cotton out, and you've got a shiny blue crystal on the end of it. Yes, imagine that. But then imagine having like 20 million of them encrusting the whole of the inside of this flat. And literally, when I say it's a flat, there's still a room that you can walk into, which was the bathroom. There is a bath in there that is encrusted with blue crystals. The whole floor, ceiling, walls, everything is just encrusted with these blue things. And some of them are massive, some of them are like the size of your hands. And the edges are like razors on them as well. But anyway, and then hanging from the ceiling was what I assume must have been a ceiling light. You know, just a simple rose and a flex and a bayonet fitted on the end of it. But the crystals have grown up around that as well. So there's this like big sparkly dangly ball thing hanging from the ceiling, and the floor is covered. But the floor's gone like all sort of funny. There's like big lumps in the floor. And I said to her, I said, is there some furniture or something under here? And she said, I don't really know. She said, when the guy did it, he exhibited it in London somewhere. And she said, people were just walking in off the street in wellies and stuff, in the rain and walking all over it. And they just trampled it all down. She goes, but there's obviously something under there, because there's these big lumps at various places around the thing. But she said, nobody knows what they are. She guesses there was just stuff that was like left in the bedsit when he filled it up, and it's just kind of decomposed and left a big mound underneath this bed of copper sulfate crystal. But just bizarre, just utterly bizarre. The whole room was full of this. And it wasn't even really well lit. All they'd done was strap a couple of LED sort of spotlights in there, Mac, a couple of LED spotlights in there. And she was like walking around with this torch, like just... It was just bizarre. Just, I wouldn't call it. I can see the merits of it as it's like maybe an experiment or maybe a demonstration of how copper sulfate crystals grow. But I wouldn't call it art. Really, I wouldn't. It just like, what? No. But anyway, it was interesting. It was interesting. I'm kind of glad I saw it. I'll never forget it. It would be imprinted forever on my brain. Yeah, it was a good walk. We had a good trot out. But yeah, there were some hairy coos. There were some hairy coos. And some rare breed sheep and stuff as well, which we got to have a look at. I like hairy coos. Highland cattle, for anybody who doesn't know what hairy coos are. Highland cattle are lovely. They're big, ginger head, shaggy looking things. We get big horns and they just look really cute. Yeah, lovely. Probably my favourite cow. If there is such a thing as having a favourite cow, I don't know. Well, clearly there is, because the Highland cows are my favourite cow. Possibly even my favourite farm animal as a whole. Anyway, I've probably waffled for too long. Oh, blimey, half an hour. So I'm going to go and have my very long, very strong cup of black coffee, which has just finished pouring. And I'm going to play with my boy. And see if I can fix this bug so I can go and do some farming simulation. I fancy ploughing a field. Although having said that, tomorrow I'll have my Xbox back. So tomorrow night I'll be back to trying to level up my character on Destiny and ready for next week's DLC. DLC. I think I'll probably do a full audio book about DLC. Yes, I think I will. I might do that tomorrow. Or maybe later on today. No, tomorrow probably. Actually, I'm going shopping tonight. I normally do a boo when I go shopping, don't I? I might do it then. Anyway, I'll see. Anyway, catch you all later. Thank you very much for listening to me. Hope you're all well and happy. And I will speak to you all very, very soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.